Morning, morning, morning. Thank you. I missed everyone here. Let me just put this in here. Good. I missed everyone. We missed actually everyone here. We really did. The previous week, the other one, we were not feeling so well, but the other week we were at another church. For those who don't know, that we've gotten some work in the churches, in local churches, to really just strengthen communities around unemployment, and as well to work with the churches to get into communities. So some Sundays I'm not here, not because I don't want to be at church, or that I don't want to be here at His Way Church. This is our home base. But it's because we are with other churches and just strengthening relationships there. Yeah. So when we're not here, just know that we are there, and please keep us in your prayers. Amen. Yeah. We love this church. It's full of life and full of love. You know, we were just chatting yesterday with Okella that we haven't met, gone into any church like this one. No, I'm really, maybe it's because we're so connected with the church, but we feel love here. When you walk in, you can feel the love. You can feel the intention that people have. It's just a wonderful environment to be. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Are we ready for the word today? Yes. Yeah. Okay, so today's word is Send the Word. It's titled Send the Word. Send the Word. Send the Word in every situation that you are in. So today, God, as we were praying, it was as if a sense we received that God wants each and every person here to know that you are precious, important, and highly valued. I heard Dave say that earlier on and said, do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you believe that the Lord loves you? Do you believe that the Lord cares about your life and that you are really important? Do you really believe it? It's a big question. And so I'd like us to all say it together. If you may follow me and say, I am precious.
I am precious.
I matter to God.
And I am important.
Yes, we're here to remind everyone that you are important, you matter to the Lord, you are highly valued, and He cares for you. He cares for you because He loves you. And He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that you may be reconciled to His love. So that you may fully experience God's love in its wholeness and holisticness. I think we all know that we live in a world today, the system of this world, that has a corrupt sense of love, right? Yeah, we live in a system that has a corrupt sense of love. It's as if you need to work for love. Right? Or am I alone? Okay. It feels like you have to work for love. It feels like you have to work for provision, right? It's like you have to work for joy. Right? You have to work for peace. You know, you have to work to be secure. Right? We have to get houses, and it's like we're in this world and a system of actually working. And I think it's as if when we were younger, it's like you have to work to pass grade one, right? You don't just pass grade one. You have to work to pass grade seven, right? And you have to work extra hard to get into university. You don't just get in, right? And it's like a sense of that with the Lord as well. It's like we feel like we have to work, right? We have to work to gain God's love. I have to be highly righteous. I don't know if there's such a thing as highly righteous. You have to be highly holy. No? And when I'm holy, when I feel like I'm holy, I feel like now I've earned God's love. Right? And God says, no, I love you the way you are. I love you as a sinner. Not that you actually love to sin. Because I know for myself that back in the days, way back, not now. I'm just kidding. But you would plan for sin, right? I don't know if there's anyone here who would never plan for sin. But would plan for sin. Like when Monday starts, you can't wait for Friday. Right? So you're already planning what you're going to be doing on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you're planning for sin. Unless I'm the only one. Right? But God loves you despite it all. He loves you in your challenges with sin. In you grappling with God, I'm grappling with this area. You know, I'm grappling with unforgiveness. You know, I'm grappling with this thing. But I really want to get to a point where I can actually forgive. You know? So you can't be highly righteous and highly loyal. The fact that you are grappling with it, God still loves you. Amen. God still loves you. And I'm here to share the good news with us that we can actually trust and rely in the Lord's love for us. There's nothing that you and I can do, family, to actually earn God's love. There's nothing you can do. You can't work for it. If you're living in the law, I feel sorry for you because you'll never get to the point where you are holy. It's up and down, right? You can't work for his love. You can never be righteous and holy for it. Instead, God's desire for you and I is for us to enter and rest in his complete works. That's all. That's his desire for us. But it is easier said than done, right? we feel that even in the complete works, we feel like we still need to work in the complete works. I don't know if you get me. Like in the completeness of the Lord, in what he has done, he's done for you and I, we still feel like we need to work in what he has completed for us, which is really absurd. And sometimes we pray prayers like this. We say, Father, if you bless me with a million rand, I promise you now that I will build you a church. I promise you now I will go feed the poor. Right? It's weird, right? But we actually are, you and I actually are blessed with wealth. So it's not that when I actually have it, then I will do something for you, God. And that's, I think, how we've been raised, right? We've been in our homes with our parents. It's like you wash dishes in order to make mommy happy. You study so that dad can feel okay. Well done. You're a good boy. Keep doing this, right? In order to earn something. And God is not like that. And so man's deepest search in all of us is to enter into this complete works that Christ did for us. To experience his peace. To experience health. To fully experience it. To experience joy. And also to experience pain, right? Because at times we always want to run away from pain. I don't know if anyone here does not like pain or likes pain, but I don't like pain. But what actually Christ has done for us is that even in pain, we don't actually experience the sting of death because he's taken that away. And so we also want to experience pain in a godly way, right? We want to experience his provision But it feels like a struggle for many of us here. Am I correct? Right? It feels like it's such a struggle to actually attain and get to this place. And so I'm here sent to encourage us all, you and I, and to say that you are not alone. We are all together. You are not alone. In fact, because of this love that your Father has for you, we have an enemy out there that actually hates to see God's love for us. He hates to see you enjoying the blessing of a family. He actually hates that, and so he brings confusion in family and disunity, right? He hates seeing the unity of a family, of a spouse, husband and wife together. And so he brings confusion in that and makes sure that there is separation, there is hate, and there's all of that. He hates seeing that. He hates seeing you worshiping him. This one he hates. He hates seeing you and I worship him. You know? So that you don't get to a place of worship with the Lord, because worship is such a beautiful place to be in with God. There's peace. There's the fullness of who he is. And so in the worship, he brings thoughts in the worship, right? As you're worshiping, like here when we come in the morning and we praise and we worship, and as you're just sensing the presence of the Lord, then he brings a thought, right? Whether it's whatever the thought is, reminds you of what you did yesterday, so that you cannot enter fully his presence and really experience the worship of the Lord. So he comes in different ways. He hates seeing you financially strong. And so he makes sure and tries to bring poverty. When with his money, and then it gets lost and you don't know what's happening. Or people come into your bank account today, there's so much fraud, right? He hates seeing that. He hates seeing you and me with no concern or no worry at all. He always wants us to be worried. You must walk life worried. Every day there must be something that worries you. And so he seeks to make sure that we don't fully experience his love. So I'd like us to go to Philippians 4:8 into the Word of God and read it. And it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable." Fix your thoughts, right? Rewire your thinking. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. So here in Scripture, we see that when we look at the Scripture the other way around, we see that the enemy comes to steal the experience of God's love. Right? And so he comes into the pattern of our thinking. He comes and plants a corrupt seed in our minds that we may dwell and think about. He comes and he changes the pattern of our language and how we speak. And he manipulates situations around us to frustrate us. And he does this when we are not actually fixed in the Word of God. Because when we are fixed in the Word of God, we'll be able to identify what is not of God and what is of the Lord. So for the moment you open up your eyes in the morning, a very important time in the morning, the moment you open up your eyes in the morning, what happens? There's a battle. There's a battle. And this battle is to make sure that you don't fully experience his love, what he actually has for you, for the day, the blessing that the day is for you. And so the question is, how do we get to experience his love here on earth? Let's look again at Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. And it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Always be full of joy in the Lord and rejoice. Always be full of joy in the word and rejoice in it. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And so don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done for you. Then you will experience God's peace. You will experience God's peace. And God's peace is called in Hebrew shalom, which exceeds anything we understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Amen. So there's a responsibility here, family, when we read this. And the responsibility is from our end to experience shalom. The word shalom in Hebrew is not only about peace. It's actually also about the presence of God in everything in your life. So when the presence of God is in your family, when the presence of God is in your church, when the presence of God is in your relationships, there you start experiencing peace. Praise the Lord. If you may take a note here, I have 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2 to 3, which is not here. It's just an addition for you to just go into it and read. This talks about when David wanted to build God a temple, right? And he said to the Lord, I want to build you a temple. The Lord said, no, you are a man of war. And so your son, Solomon, will be the one that builds me a temple so that my presence may be in that temple. Amen. Amen. What is so interesting about this story is that we know that David was a man after God's heart. And so he was constantly in praise. He was constantly carrying the presence of God with him. And what the Lord has done there is that he gave David a pattern. And he said to David, give your son this pattern. Give your son this pattern that the next generation may know how to carry the presence of God the way that you have been able to. And so God gives us a view here that shalom is actually about carrying the presence of the Lord in every area of our lives. And so to bring the presence of the Lord is to build a temple for him. Build a temple for him in our family. To build a temple for him in our community. To build a temple for him even at work so that his presence is always there. And when he is there, there is peace. There is his presence. And so we have a responsibility for this. Let's look at Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13, which now links into sending the word. Are we still okay? Amen. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. This could be you and me and saying, Lord, my servant, Lord, my situation lies in bed. My situation lies paralyzed. My situation lies in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And so what is Jesus Christ saying? He says, I will come and deliver you. I will come deliver you from that situation. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word where you are and my servant will be healed. Just send the word. Where you are, Jesus, just send the word and my situation will be healed. My situation will be delivered. There's nothing that I need to work in because I have complete trust in your word, that your word is supreme and that your word has conquered many battles. There is nothing that I can conquer. But if you just send the word, I know that it will complete the finished works. So it's not the power of your will, but it's the power of the word of God. It is the word that will make a way. Where there is no way. Just like water. When water flows, it makes a way. Where there is no way. Praise the Lord. Verse 9. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. This is a man who understands authority. So this would be you and me. Us understanding that we are under who? Under God. We understand that we are under authority. And this is a man who understands the power of authority. Hallelujah. It's like understanding a legal system, that a legal system works for you. It protects you. It guards you because it's a law and it's written. And this man understands this and understands the system and says, I am under authority. I only need to say go, just like the word. All I need to say is go. And they go. And come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. So this is a man who is reliant on the word of God and understands that being under authority, understands that when you send the word of God, everything out there has no option but to actually listen to the word of God. Every situation has no option but to obey the King of Kings. Just like dry bones, family, they hear the word of God. Whatever their situation is, whatever dry well you're in, it hears the word of God. Just like any sickness, it hears the word of God. Just like any dead situation in your life, it hears the word of God. It might not hear you. It might not hear you, but it actually hears the word. It understands that the word is king and that the word is above. Not your word, but the word of God. I continue, verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I have not seen this kind of faith in Israel. Not the faith of touching things, not the faith of seeing things, but the faith of totally being reliant and immersed in God's word and fully relying in it and trusting it. He's never seen this kind of faith. That you can have faith in something that you don't touch. You can have faith in something that you don't see. You just send the word and you have true faith and believe that it will do what it needs to do and it will bring you back what belongs to you. There are many situations in our lives, family, where things have been stolen from us, that have been taken from us. And it is our responsibility to take back what belongs to you. Because that is a gift from the Lord. And the enemy has no right to take it away from you. And so you and I have no power to do that, but God has given us the word. He's given us the word to fight that battle through the word. Then Jesus said, verse 13, if we can skip to 13. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed. It has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. Where he was, because of being totally reliant on God's word, he was healed. Praise the Lord. Today we heard such a wonderful testimony about Ntate Ian. that all we did was just pray and send the word. Where we are, we just send the word and we see the power of God bring back such a wonderful testimony and a result in our lives. And today we are full of joy to know that he's at a better place with good nurses. Not that other nurses are bad, but he's in a different facility, in a different environment, in a different territory where God wants him to be. Thank you, Father. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So I'd like to share a story with you that really connects to Matthew 8. So in the community that I serve in, I met a recent mama, right? And she said to me years ago, she was experiencing stomach pains, right? And then her mother actually took her to a consultant, right? You know what I mean when I say consultant. Yeah. If you know, you know. So they took her there and they prayed for her, right? And they prayed for her. Afterwards, the consultant asked to see the mother separately. And this consultant spoke to the mother and then gave the mother some stuff. Yeah? So you take some stuff and then you'll do what. And so inside of her, she felt like she needed to ask the mother when they got home that, what was that private meeting about? Because we went together to go pray and what, but now why is there a private meeting? So the mother told her what it was about. And said the lady told her that she's not going to be able to give birth. Right? And this really hurt her. You know, sometimes when you release a word, it can play with you. Right? And it can sit with you and you can meditate on it and start believing it. So she jumped out of that situation and went back to the Lord. And she opened up the book of Exodus, which talks about midwives, etc., and stood on that word and said, God, I will have a child. I will have a child. I repent for going there. I will have a child. 8 months later, she could feel stomach cramps again, and she could feel like this was her, I think, second child. She felt the cramps like, oh, I think the baby is about to come. And so she rushed quickly to a local hospital, checked herself in, and she was given a bed there. But the nurses didn't check on her, right? So it was a local hospital, the doctors, they could pick up that the baby's coming, but they didn't check up on her every hour or every 30 minutes, etc. And she could feel that the baby wanted to come, and she kept screaming, nurse, 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 and no one actually paid attention to her. Long story cut short, she self-delivered the baby. And before, what was so amazing is that before she gave birth, she spoke to the baby. And this is what she said to the baby. She said, I send the word to your situation. And she opened up the book of Exodus again about the midwives. And she said, I send the word to this situation and I cancel every word that has been spoken that there will be a death. And then she spoke to her tummy. You know, she spoke to the baby in her tummy and she said, baby, listen here, which is what I thought this was amazing. She says, listen here, I'm going to push and you're going to push. And you're going to push and I'm going to push and I'm going to push and you're going to push. Today, the child is 4 years old. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today, the child is 4 years old and the enemy's plan to kill the child was defeated. Isn't the story special for me? And it so practical applies to Matthew 8, to send the word. You do what you need to do and God will do what he does. You just push the word and God will do everything else. There's nothing that you need to do. You can't be a doctor in this situation. You can't be anything. And the baby came out. And I thought, wow, this is powerful. This reminds us, family, that we have a responsibility to experiencing God's love. He loves us, but we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to know His word. Know and identify a corrupt seed. There are many things here on earth where people tell us and we take that as the truth. But we don't go to the word of God and say, is this the truth? You're dealing with a situation in life, it just seems like it's not going anywhere. But it's not the truth. Because the word of God has spoken what the truth is. The second point is to pray. Speak and activate God's word before you get out of bed. Because there's just so much happening in the day, and the day just takes you with, okay? I don't know about you, you switch on the radio and then boom, the day takes you, right? You're in the car, the taxi driver does something, boom, and the day takes you. You go to a meeting, the day takes you. Whatever it is, you go to the shops, and like something happens, like things happen and they take, and all of a sudden by the end of the day, you feel frustrated, anxious, and all these things in the day when you actually should be experiencing God's presence throughout the day. His joy and His love. Send the word into the day. Send the word into the day. I'm encouraged to see something here that presidents, when they go to any state, they don't just go and buy fish and chips. Presidents just don't go to the mall and go shop, right? They don't just go to a meeting. They don't just go. They have bodyguards, surveillances, these things that happen to check the environment that they're going to. And so God has given us power here with the word of God. And He's called us to be co-creators with Him. And He's calling us to send the word into the day, so that the word can go and be a surveillance to where you're going. That when you're meeting people, you're already praying, Father, I just pray that you be a part of that meeting. I just pray that you be a part of that fellowship. I just pray that when I come to church, may your presence be there. I just pray that today you send the person that I need to meet for the day. I just pray for my children wherever they go. Whatever it is, you send the word of God that it may do and perfect His will. Because you are king. You and I are king. He calls us His children. But He's given us this world and this earth that we may be a dominion and take care of His world. His world and His resources. And so you are king. By the time you arrive in that place, the Lord should have set up His love for you. Amen. Point number four, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise creates an environment. Praise invites His presence. It invites Him. He wants to dwell in the places of praise. So when we find ourselves in the morning just pumping up the music, not first thing the news, not first thing WhatsApp, not first thing Facebook, okay? Not first thing coffee, okay? First thing, the word. First thing, praise. First thing, thank you, Jesus. And I find that when you do that and you start praying, God even starts telling you of things to come. He even tells you about the day. He even tells you where to not go and what's going to happen, etc. And then when those things start happening, you say, wow, it's deja vu. No. It's not deja vu. It's God who has spoken and has shown you what is going to happen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read the last scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true. You know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. This is talking about the corrupt seed. You will be able to know what it is. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do what? Every good work. Praise the Lord. So we thank God for the word of God, right? Because it's an open book test. You know an open book test. I used to love those. That's cool. Open book test. Yes, I loved those. Because we always passed those. And so when we have an open book with the word of God, we always pass the situations we go through. They may be tough, but we pass them. All our solutions are in the word of God. Many people have swords. Many people have swords in their houses, but don't know how to use the weapons that they have. The centurion man shows us how to use it. He says, just send the word ahead. Send it. Send the word into your situation and rest in the complete works of Christ. It has qualified itself. The word has qualified itself. Trust it. Allow it to work for you. All things are finished in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I pray for us?